Baristas in Buffalo, New York may be on their way to forming the first ever union at a corporate-owned Starbucks. The National Labor Relations Board ruled that three stores in the Buffalo area can hold separate elections, and they start next week. Matthew Bodie is a former attorney with the National Board. He now teaches law at St. Louis University. And he spoke to our colleague, here and now's Tanya Mosley.
There are now over 9,000 corporate-run Starbucks locations in the country, but not one has a union. How significant is this effort to unionize?
Whenever you have a unionization effort at a big brand like Starbucks, it definitely makes the news. And if these stores were to unionize, that would really be a kind of a dramatic change, certainly for Starbucks, but also for a lot of other big branded companies that are also not unionized, where there have been some efforts over the years, but nothing really substantially successful beyond the big brands like GM and Ford that have been traditionally been unionized for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Starbucks announced that all of its hourly workers in the U.S. will make at least $15 an hour. This comes at this time with these union talks. How else is the company trying to respond to the unionization efforts?
Well, it looks like that the initial efforts were to really put a focus on these stores, try and figure out if there were things that the workers were upset about. There were reports of high-level management, including the president of Starbucks North America, coming to visit and paying attention to the workers, listening to the workers, trying to figure out what's going on. I think there's an image of the president cleaning up, mopping a floor, right? So to kind of show not only that they're interested in what's going on, but also that they're all part of the same team and they all want to work together to make Starbucks a better place. So some of the more unusual things are having high-level managers come, not just for like a quick drive-by, but I believe one of the logs for one of the stores had the president coming seven times, which I think that's pretty unusual for someone, again, who's in charge of 9,000 stores in the United States and also stores in Canada. To spend so much time at one location is pretty unusual.
So all of this is happening now, but previous union campaigns within Starbucks have failed in the past. In one instance, two baristas in Philadelphia were fired for trying to unionize. I bring this up because I'm talking about the way that the company is responding to these calls for unionization. Does this speak to how hard it is to actually start a union within Starbucks?
It's really hard to start a union at any big company these days, particularly in the service industry. There are a lot of tools that companies can use dissuade employees. You know, some are illegal, right? Firing a worker because they're in support of a union is definitely illegal. And the National Labor Relations Board has the authority to order those workers to get back pay and be rehired by the company. But there are a lot of legal tools as well, including closed-door meetings, to explain to the workers why management thinks that it's a bad idea to join the union, how it will change the environment at the company. And Starbucks in particular has, I think, tried to cultivate an image of a very progressive company, one that is more worker-oriented, more worker-friendly. There have been some benefits, including educational benefits and healthcare benefits, that are a little unusual in the industry. Starbucks calls its employees partners. I think those efforts are designed to try and make employees feel like they're all part of the same team or same family. And by doing so, discourage, you know, bringing in quote-unquote outsiders that the union would represent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be more explicit about this, though, the New York Times reported that Starbucks increased staff and shut down stores for training. They've also sent in support managers from out of state. Starbucks has denied that all of this has anything to do with counteracting union efforts. But are they trying to work against workers who want a union?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I mean, ultimately, it should be up to the workers to decide whether they want to be represented by a union. It's really their choice because their relationship is with the union, and then the union then would have a relationship with the employer in representing those employees. But it's really been cast as kind of, instead of voting yes or no for the union, you're voting for the union or you're voting for the company. And the company kind of wants to kind of cast it that way because I think most workers, you know, even though they may complain about their jobs on a day-to-day basis, I think a lot of workers are proud of where they work. They want to do a good job, and they want to see themselves as part of a larger group that's working towards, you know, some higher purpose, even if that's really good coffee, right? So the kind of claim that you're being disloyal or the kind of indication that you're not part of the team if you want to bring in a union, I think can be very effective in kind of dissuading some employees in the instance. Now, as you mentioned, some of the things they've done, including bringing in high-level management, staffing up stores. I think there was one report that there were like 9 baristas behind the bar of a very not very crowded Starbucks one morning. Closing 2 stores. Now, the company has reallocated those workers from those stores to other places. But anytime you actually close one of the units that is petitioning to have a union there, that definitely raises red flags for me as a former NLRB attorney and someone who, you know, works in this area. That was surprising, along with those high-level managers coming and that, as you mentioned, the huge increase in staffing at some of the stores.
That's Matthew Bode, professor of law at St. Louis University. Matthew, thank you so much.
Thank you.